Turn back to Isaiah 48. Isaiah chapter 48. Back in chapter 47, we looked at that a week or two ago. God announces the fall of Babylon. He tells her that He's going to dethrone her. He's going to bring her down off her throne. And He's going to destroy that great whore. That's what she's called in the book of Revelations. He's going to destroy her, that one that has made all the nations, He says, to drink of her false religions and her falsehood. As I told you before, told you last week, Babylon represents all false religions. Everything that's against God, that's what it represents. But in chapter 48, God reveals the sin of His chosen people. He reveals the sin of His elect people, lest they should boast themselves against Babylon when she falls. God reveals that by nature, Israel is not any better. By nature, Israel is not any better. The only one that we have to rejoice in is our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who makes us to differ. I want you to look over in Proverbs chapter 24. And this is one of the reasons that God exposes their sin. He says in Proverbs 24 and verse 17 and verse 18, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him." Now the Scripture says that the Lord takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You know, I feel for men when they die and they don't believe the gospel, they die lost. That just troubles me. I don't rejoice in that. I know I was of the same nature. What we see here is the sovereign grace of God in Christ to chosen sinners. That's what we're going to see here. You will not find, as we read through this, you will not find one thing, not one thing about Israel that recommends them to God. Not one, as you see this. The Lord does not hide our sins. He doesn't do that. But He reveals it to us for the glory of His grace, and that we might be led to faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't hide it. He reveals it to us. Now He says here in verse 1, "You call yourselves," He said, "you're called by the name of Israel, and you swear by the name of the Lord, but not in truth nor in righteousness." They're charged here with being religious hypocrites. That's what He's charging with. You're religious hypocrites. Most of those, I know this, most of those over this world and over this country, many people call themselves Christians. They take the name Christians. But yet, I do believe this, that for the most part, the vast majority of them are just hypocrites. They don't know God. They don't know Him. Not at all. I heard on the news the other day, it said that 87% of America claims to be Christians. 87%. Yet we lead the world in murder, rape, and all these perversions. That just can't be so. But I know this. I do know this. All men and women, including all of God's elect, we are born into this world really as hypocrites. We always think we're more than what we are. We think we're stronger than we are. We think we're prettier than we are. Hypocrites. We all come forth from the womb, the Scripture says, what? Speaking lies. He said that's how we come forth, speaking lies. If you'll notice in verses 1 through 8, 1 and 2, He talks about hypocrites. Verse 3 and 4, He calls them rebels. Verse 5 and 7, he calls them idolaters. He said, I've revealed these things to you, lest you say my idol did it. And then verse 8, he calls them transgressors from the womb. This is an accurate description of God's elect by nature before God saves them, before conversion. You know who Abraham was? You know where these Israelites that God's going to save. He's going to save them from Babylon. He's going to go and destroy Babylon. He's going to save them from them. And I was thinking about this today. Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldeans. He was a Chaldean. God's going to save a people, Israel, out of this mess. God's going to save a people out of this world. We're of the same nature, born with the same nature of all the rest of the sons of Adam. But God's going to save a people. I want you to look over in 1 Corinthians. He's going to save a people out of all this human race. He's going to have a people, just like His Son. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. As such were some of you. As such were some of you, but you're washed. God's done something for you. You're washed. You're sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. But He said, and such were some of you. That's what He points out. He never washes over that. Such were some of you. We have the same depraved nature that the children of wrath have, born with it. We are born with the same enmity in our minds that those who perish have. We have it. Scripture says in Romans, there is none righteous, no, not one. I wrote by that, even me. Even me. Even among the God's elect by nature, there's none of them righteous by nature. Not at all. God reveals to us who and what we are by nature, lest anyone should boast. He said there is no flesh going to glory in His presence. We are going to glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we're going to glory in. We're going to glory in Him, but not in ourselves. No flesh is going to glory and say, let me tell you what I did. Nobody's going to do that. That's not going to happen. We've all gone our own way of rebellion. That's what it says over in Isaiah 53. We've all gone astray. And God says to Israel in verse 4, you are obstinate. Your neck is like, it's made out of an iron sinew. And your brow, He says, is as brass. It's as brass. Nothing of the nature of God is in them at first. Election does not make me holy. It doesn't make me holy. Nor cause me to love God. But a new birth will. A new birth will do that. Salvation is this. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. That's what God's going to do for His people. Christ in you. Adam could not pass on to me the nature of God. He could not do it. He could not pass on to me righteousness. He could not do it. Only His fallen nature. That's the only thing Adam was able to pass on to me. But God can, by His Spirit, make me a partaker of the divine nature. God can do that. And He will do that to His people. God can make me to differ. Who maketh thee to differ? What do you have to God didn't give it to you. God makes us to differ. God has put a difference between the Egyptian and the Israelite. God makes us to differ. Now God says in verse 8,
He says, you are transgressors from the womb.
He hasn't said one good thing about them yet, has he? About them personally. Now, you look at them and consider who they are. God hasn't said one good thing. Not one thing, as he said, would recommend them to God. Not one. You are transgressors from the womb. You're guilty from birth. We are. Guilty. Guilty from birth. Partakers of original sin and actual transgressors. Actual breakers of God's law. As soon as we're born, it says we go forth speaking lies. As soon as we're born. But here is a note of comfort. Here, let's get to the comfort zone. Here is a note of comfort. I want you to look in verse 4. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. Now look down at verse 8. Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. Now here's some comfort for me. I found some comfort in this today. God says this, I knew. I knew. I knew you before you were born. I knew exactly what you was going to be like. I knew exactly what you were going to do. I knew you before you. I knew you before the world began. I knew you. And guess what? He still chose me. I knew you. And you're my elect. He knew me and he still loved me. I find some comfort in this. That God knew me. He said, I knew you were obstinate. I know you. I know what kind of sinner you are. I know how depraved you are. And yet he still chose me before the world began. I won't do anything that will surprise God. Not anything. I knew you. I knew you. He joined himself to us in covenant. Therefore, he'll save us. He'll save it. Because he's joined himself to this people that he knew were sinners. He knew this. This ought to give us much comfort. And this also magnifies the grace of God to me. That God would know me in such a way. Hosea. God told him to go marry a prostitute. Hosea knew what kind of woman she was. There's not a man in here to do that. But God told him, you go marry a prostitute. You go marry a woman like that because that's what my people's like. That's what we are by nature. That's what we're like. That's just exactly what we're like. Now God reveals His mercy and grace. After revealing the sin, after revealing that I knew you, I know what kind of people you are. Now in verse 9, He reveals His mercy and grace. And here's the first cause. For my name's sake. For my name's sake, he says, I deferred my anger. And for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. As I said earlier, God made a covenant before the world. He made a covenant before the world was with his Son on behalf of his elect. And he attached the honor of his name to that covenant. He attached the honor of his name to that people, to the saving of that people. He attached the honor of his name, and he's going to save them. He's going to save. He's not going to pollute his name. Not at all. And then he says here, and for his praise, his elect are for the praise and honor of his grace. That's what it says over in Ephesians 2. He's going to make us trophies of his grace. That's what God's going to do. And we know this. We know this by the Scriptures. And because He's loved us with an everlasting love. If He foreknew me, knew all about me, and yet loved me, it's sure not going to change now. It's not. He's loved me. He's loved us. He's loved them with an everlasting love. And then here's the second cause. I have chosen thee. You didn't choose me. I chose you.
I have chosen thee. He will not. God will not lose any of His chosen ones. He won't do it. He's going to refine them, He says, in the furnace of affliction. He's going to put them through trials. He's going to chasten them. And you know what? Every one of them, every one of His true Israel is going to come forth as a vessel of honor. Every one of them is going to come forth as a vessel of honor. He said, I've refined you in the furnace of affliction. I have chastened you. I have tried you. I have put you through these hardships. And when you come out, when I'm done with you, when I take you to glory, you're going to be a vessel of honor. That's what God's doing. He said, you're going to be a vessel of honor. He says over in verse chapter 43. Look here in chapter 43. Verse 21 of Isaiah. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. That's what's going to happen. That's what's happening now. You know, even now we show forth His praise, but not like we're going to. Not like we're going to. And then He says in verse 11, I've saved you here for mine own sake. Because of who I am. That's why I say, come on. God who changes not, God who cannot lie, says, for my own sake, and I will do it. You have my word on this. God says, I give you my word, I will do this. I will save you. Even though you're not worth saving yourself. But because of who I am, I'm going to save His people that I've chosen. Even though they're stiff-necked, obstinate, and He said, I'm going to do it because I've attached my name to it. I've attached my name to it. And my honor, He said, my honor I'll not give to another. I'll not give it to another god, little g, another idol that they've come up with. He said, I've told you these things that when they come to pass, you won't say, my idol did it. Oh, He said, I'm not going to give my honor to another god. Or listen, I'm not going to give my honor to another people. I'm going to give it to my elect. The one I've chosen, I put my glory, my honor upon them. I'm not giving it to no one else. The Scriptures tells us this. It says that we are forgiven of all our sins for Christ's sake. God did not forgive me for my sake. God forgives sinners whom Christ died for Christ's sake. For mine own sake, I do this. This is why I saved you. I chose you. I've loved you. And I'm going to have you. And I'm going to finish the work. And I'm going to do it for my honor. It'll be for my honor. Now in verse 12, God says, now listen to me. Here in verse 12. Hearken to me, O Jacob and Israel. Listen to me. Give me your attention. Give me your ear. Listen to me. Listen to what He called. My called. My called. Called from eternity. Called by His Spirit. Called by my grace. Called by my name. Called effectually. This is who the message is to. The gospel message is to His elect. It's to His elect. He said, listen to me, my called. Oh, I tell you what, if God would enable us to listen to Him, we'll find much comfort. Much comfort in His word. This is who God's talking to. This is who the Bible is written to. His called ones. Those whom He's called. Called according to His purpose. He says, give attention to this. Give attention to this. I am He. Give attention to who I am. Give attention to who's calling you. Give attention here to who's talking. To who's giving you this promise. I am He, the eternal God, the Holy One of Israel, the one who changes not, the only God there is. There is no other God. The first and the last. That's who He is. The first and the last. The one that all things begin with and all things will end with. The first and the last. I am. I am. Has spoken and will do it. I will do it. Well, that ought to relieve our fears. Who is your salvation? God Almighty, who He says, I'll do it. Trust me. Trust me. Now, lest you doubt my power to save you. You know, Babylon was a very great city. Very fortified city. And they've been in there for a while. And God says, and He's saying this, lest you doubt my power to deliver you from this great city, this Babylon. He said in verse 13, mine hand laid the foundation of the earth. Do you know anybody else has done that? Do you know anyone else who has created such a thing? My hand laid the foundation of the earth. That's what He's saying there in verse 13. And my right hand has spanned the heavens, spread out like a curtain. When I call unto them, listen to this. When I call unto them, they stand up together. When I call to my creation, when I call to all things that I've made, they obey me. They do what I tell them to do, what I command them to do. That's right. They obey my command. Who can resist the powerful, effectual call of God Almighty when He calls? I want you to look over Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. Job 38. He said, when I call, they stand up together. Look at verse 35. Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee? Here we are. Lightning comes before him and says, here we are. Where, who, and what he wants to strike. That's what it's saying. When I call, lightning stands up and says, here we are. Give us your bidding. He said, my hands have created the foundation of the earth and spanned the heavens. And when I call, they all stand up together. They do as I have bid them to do. Lest you doubt my ability to save. Assemble yourselves and hear. That's just what we're doing now, isn't it? Assembled here to hear from God. And I sure hope we do. Hear what I have to say for your instructions. Hear what I have to say for your edification. Hear what I have to say for your comfort. Our Lord said this, take heed how ye hear. For with what measure you meet it with, it shall be measured to you again. Hear, He said, hear, pay attention. Oh, give attention to it. Hear this. Verse 14, the Lord hath loved him. Who is this speaking of? He said, well, speaking of Cyrus. Well, it's speaking of Cyrus, but Cyrus is a type of Christ. Christ is our Cyrus. He's our deliverer. The Scripture said, the Father hath loved the Son and hath given all things into His hands. The Lord hath loved Him. And He will do all my pleasure. The Lord Jesus Christ will do all my pleasure. He will fulfill all my counsel. The Scripture says in Isaiah 53, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He'll do all my pleasure. I have spoken, in verse 15, I have spoken and I have called him. You know, God named and called Cyrus to be the deliverer of Israel
long before he was even born. He told about him long before he was born. And long before Christ was born on this earth, before a body was prepared for him. He said, "A body hast thou prepared me." The Scriptures have spoken of him. Spoken. God called his Son. God called him from eternity past to be the Messiah of his Israel, the true Israel of God. That's who he is. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Why? "For he shall save his people from their sins." Cyrus was going to go up to Babylon. He was going to destroy that city, bring it down. He's going to set the elect of God, Israel, free. They're going to go back to their homeland. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the one who saves us from our sins. If you really know what sin is, that's good news. If you know what sin is, that is good news. And you notice here, when God speaks of Cyrus, he always speaks of bringing Cyrus, and he never says anything about Cyrus's army. He didn't talk, you know, Cyrus came in with a big army. But he speaks of Cyrus going to be my deliverer. I'm going to raise him up, going to raise him up in righteousness. And I tell you why. Because Christ shall save his people by himself, not with an army. He came alone. He didn't come with an army like Cyrus did. When God spoke of Cyrus, he just spoke of Cyrus. Because he's the type of Christ who's going to save his people by himself. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. The promise here, and the message, is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about our Lord. It's all about him. His way, he says, shall be prosperous. The way he saves sinners shall be prosperous. It shall be prosperous. Now, how do we know that he shall be prosperous? Well, first of all, because he's who he is. He's God. Look in verse 16 and 17. He says, "Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. For I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I. And now the Lord God, the Father, and his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has sent me." Who's me? "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." He's God. He's God. And listen, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are engaged in this whole affair of bringing his people to glory. They're all engaged in it. Now he says in verse 17, "I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit." Now he's not talking here about profit in earthly things. He teaches us the gospel. He teaches us the gospel. That causes us to be prosperous. When a man learns in his heart, in truth, the gospel, and which is the way that we should go. He said, "I'll teach you the way you should go also." In verses 18 and 19, I want you to look at the great cost of the sin of unbelief. "Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me." I know this. I know this. How much more could we enjoy if it were not for the sin of unbelief? If it were not for the remaining sin, how much more would this service right here, how much more glorious, how much more praise and worship would we give God if it wasn't for remaining sin? Oh, how much more. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Every time. Every time. When I read that today, I thought, and this is just a thought, I thought, if Adam hadn't fallen, but we know the purpose of God in that, what a beautiful creation we would have had. And all this, of course, we're going to enjoy something far greater than this, but all for what? For sin. Sin is a problem. It's just a destroyer of everything that's joyful, isn't it? One day we'll get rid of it. One day we'll be totally rid of this sin, and we'll enjoy God and worship God as we ought to. One day. One day. Then he gives him here in verse 20 through 22 a call to separation. He says, go out of Babylon. You're not going to stay there. We're not going to stay here. He said, but go out. Leave that place. I'm going to set you free from it. Don't hang around with it. And when you go out with singing. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You go out with joy. You went in with weeping. They went to Babylon in weeping. They're coming out of there singing because they've been delivered. They've been delivered. And as you go out, you tell what the Lord has done for your soul. That's what he's saying. When you go out, you tell what the Lord has done for you. You publish the good news. This is not a secret society here. This is not a secret society. I would to God we could tell everybody upon this earth the gospel. What Christ has done for us. Publish the good news. And here's the good news. What is the good news? The Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. There's redemption. We have been redeemed. From the curse of the law, from the power of sin, God has actually and truly redeemed us through the blood of His Son. We've been redeemed. And it is a sure redemption, for the Lord has done it. The Lord has done it. And then He tells them, the Lord will provide. In verse 21, they thirsted not in the deserts, plural. How many deserts do we go through in this life? Several. Several deserts. But he says here, they thirsted not. You know why they thirsted not? Because they have a well of water springing up within them. That well of water is within, springing up. It's not being pushed, filled in, it's springing out, up. Why? He says here, because the waters flowed out of the rock for them. This is why they thirsted not. Because the waters flowed out of the rock for them. Do you know any people on earth that happened to? And here's a verse, buddy. This is a verse we could just spend, sermons on. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. You like that word? I like that. The waters gushed out when God smote Christ, our rock. The waters of mercy and grace and love and forgiveness gushed out on His people. That's what gushed out. Oh, that's what I see when I see Calvary. I see what a mess I am. By such a death, he had to die. But I see the mercy and the grace of God just absolutely gushing out of that rock. Now, if you can't drink of that, you're just not thirsty. It gushed out. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And where did sin abound? Right in my heart. Right in that old nature. Right in me. Sin abounded in me. I'm not looking out here in the bars and a honky. I'm not. It abounded in me. But where it abounded in me, the waters gushed out. Mercy gushed out. Drink. Drink, O sinner, while the water is gushing out. Drink while the water is gushing out. Because there'll be a day it won't. It'll stop. And it'll all be over. But drink while the water's gushing out. And he says here in verse 22, As for the wicked, there is no peace. No peace with God, no peace in the heart, no peace in death, no peace. Those who remain obstinate will die in their sins, and they'll die with no peace. But listen, I'm not going to end on that note. Not so for those who drink of that rock. Not so. Their peace shall flow like a river forever and ever. Oh, drink of that rock. Drink of that water that's gushing out. Okay, Mike.
Let's turn to page 51. Page 51. Stand as we sing Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow me of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow, could my zeal no anger know, these for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me